Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today we're digging into several sizzling topics. But first up is a tale of two shootings. The one that happened in Minneapolis, where the right sees an officer fighting for his life, and the left sees an unjustified killing. Let's kick things off with the Mark Cox Show.
When a president endorses tearing families apart and attempts to govern through fear and hate rather than shared values, you foster an environment of lawlessness and recklessness.
I'm laughing. This is the governor of Iowa suggesting that enforcing laws, if you enforce the laws, it's reckless. You're being reckless and you're tearing families apart. I'll tell you what, every time an officer arrests somebody for DWI, they're separating that individual from their children. I hate to break that news to the governor of Oregon, but this is where we are with the left these days. They don't want the law enforced. Lucky enough to get Jason Law on the line this morning. He's running for St. Charles County Executive, and he is a longtime member of law enforcement in St. Louis County, the St. Louis County Police Department. Jason, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing really good this morning. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Absolutely. What do you make of this situation in Minneapolis and Portland from a law enforcement perspective? I mean, you've got people out there with the uniform on conducting their legal job, and suddenly they're the bad guys.
It's kind of ridiculous. And, you know, as a longtime officer, I've been run over in the line of duty, and luckily I wasn't severely injured. But those 3,000-pound weapons are a serious weapon, and you have to take action really quick. I didn't even have enough time to get my weapon out. And this poor ICE officer was just hit a few months prior and was severely injured. Now he's back in the line of duty, and I'm glad he's back. He did what he was supposed to do. And you'll see that Graham versus Connor, which is a Supreme Court case which guides use of force for law enforcement officers, you have to put yourself in the officer's shoes at the time of the incident. You can't use hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20. You can't study all the different tapes. You can't look at all those different things that were going on. You have to put yourself in the mind of the officer.
Well, what's sad about this whole situation, though, is even though I would imagine he'll be cleared, no charges, his career could still be ruined because his name is out there and people are going to try to destroy his life.
Yeah, and I've seen that over and over. I mean, it happened here in St. Louis. It's happened across the country in several different incidents that have occurred. It's so sad that that happens. And if people want the laws changed, then change them the right way through the democratic process. But don't take it out on the police officers who are just doing their jobs day in and day out. And that's part of the reason why I'm running for St. Charles County Executive, so we have common sense leadership that backs our law enforcement.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now, memory serves me correct. You were on the ground in Ferguson, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was there the entire time. I was a lieutenant at the time, and I did a lot of work on West Florissant, and I saw a lot of my officers getting hurt, batteries, brake discs, all kinds of things thrown at them. We were getting shot at. I remember, you know, it made me laugh. My wife and I were talking about that just the other day. We were getting shot at one evening, and then we started using gas, and then local media would say, St. Louis County Police gassed peaceful protesters. I'm like, we were getting shot at.
Forgot to mention that detail.
Yeah, of course you were. And you witnessed firsthand, because you brought up the ICE officer, Kim. He grew up in Minneapolis and has served with ICE since, I think, 2012 or 2013, something like that. You know, fortunately, he's with a federal agency where he can continue his employment probably. Maybe they have to move him to a different area after this. But Darren Wilson's life was ruined by this, and there was never a single finding that he did anything wrong in the Mike Brown case.
You're correct. Under the Eric Holder DOJ, they looked at everything, and when they found out was that he acted in self-defense. And it's terrible that these officers have to go through it. It ruins their lives. I mean, the ICE officer was also an Iraqi veteran. All he was doing is serving his community. I mean, serving should be applauded, not torn down.
Where's the respect gone for law enforcement? Here's Bob Rose.
What's bugging me is all the disrespect that these ICE officers are getting across the country. And I'm so tired of it's a law enforcement agency. You try any of this madness against somebody else, and you find out. I'm so tired of these what's going on with these men. And then I'm really tired of these candy-ass politicians and news media. They come out and they glorify all the criminal activity, and they keep, and all they do is beat over the ice and they make it things worse. This is probably the most important job we have in this country right now, is cleaning up our country and figuring out who's here and who's not. They're law enforcement officers. Treat them as such. And I am just sick of how it's going on, Bob.
Well, look, treat them as such, but this is a problem. I mean, Minneapolis, they're one of the areas that led the whole charge of defund the police, if you recall that. And they're still, of course, you know, remnant, I don't know, what would you call it, ideology. They're not pro-cop.
No.
No.
But Tony's right. It is frustrating because they start the problem, and then it's this cycle of being, you know, critical of the guys who are trying to, as he said, clean up our country. It's a problem, and I guess they want it to be bad. The chaos thing you talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well. Yeah, and the person who got shot, she was 37 years old. So, you know, somebody can manipulate you maybe to some extent, but you've got to know when you don't follow police commands, generally that's not followed by good things.
Mm-hmm. Remember back in September, the attack on the Dallas ICE facility, a sniper opened fire on their building?
Mm-hmm.
People forget about that. Demon rats didn't shed a tear when Ashley Babbitt was shot dead. In fact, they said she deserved it, and her killer was never prosecuted. You know what? What's tragic is these Democrats who foment this kind of anger and hate against ICE are not rounded up and thrown into prison.
Here's Rich Zeoli on the Trump administration's reaction.
Well, J.D. Vance just gave a fiery, fiery address at the White House earlier today, moments ago, actually, fired up over what's happening in Minnesota and the fact that people are suggesting that the ICE agent murdered this woman. A lot of protests, Tim Walz fanning the flames. Remember how I told you yesterday Tim Walz was going to use this opportunity to try to resurrect his political career? That's exactly what he's doing. Already out there today comparing this to George Floyd and bringing up what happened. And you remember in the summer of love, as we all call it, when Minnesota was burning to the ground, it was the summer. Now, it's cold out right now in Minnesota, so there's not nearly as many protesters, but there are a lot of them out there. And they're out there because the elected officials, the politicians, are all saying that this was murder, that this was cold-blooded murder. Now, you look at the tape, you look at the video, you analyze it from all the different angles, and what's very clear here is they were attempting to arrest this woman, and she sped off. And whether or not she deliberately was trying to hit the officer or not, she was trying to evade law enforcement. When you run, when you don't comply, when you don't obey the orders in that moment, all bets are off. That's the problem here. That's the issue. If you watch the video, you can see the one officer is trying to open the door, the other officer's in front of her. Now, the debate is whether or not she was trying to get away, and then maybe her head was not fully in front to know that there was an officer in front of her or not. But you got to realize something. This particular woman who was involved in this shooting had been in. She was leading these protests all day, and there had been separate incidents where ICE agents were almost rammed with vehicles that same day. This particular officer who used his weapon, he was also at one point a few months ago, they tried to ram a car at him. So this wasn't a situation of a woman just kind of coming home from the grocery store. She was leading this protest. They tried to arrest her. She didn't comply. And she's dead. And it's a terrible, horrible situation. But that's what happens. It's kind of like the old Chris Rock bit. I mean, if you don't want to get shot by the police, then listen to what the police are telling you. I mean, that's just the reality. It's the reality of the situation. You got an officer there. And now, from the perspective of the officer who's in front of the car, he sees a car coming at him. And his weapon's drawn. He's firing at that moment. Now, you could argue, well, maybe he should have jumped out of the way, but that's not what the training is. The training is he's viewing that he's being attacked, that this car is coming at him. He's firing his weapon. Weapons were drawn. She should have complied. They're telling her she was under arrest. They're telling her to get out of the vehicle. They're telling her to do these things. She's not listening, and now she's dead, which is the rule: comply with law enforcement. I mean, it's a rule I learned very early on in my life when my dad, who was a cop at the time, and I got my driver's license, said to me, when you're in a car, you get pulled over, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it is, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there's no constitution on the side of the road, there's no attorney on the side of the road, you just do what you're told, and then you deal with it later in court. If there's an issue, you deal with it later in court. But in that moment, you comply and you do what you're told. And if there's something wrong, you deal with it later. And that was the advice I was given, and that's the advice I will impart upon my son and my daughters when they start to drive. Because there's no place for debate. There's no place for getting out of the vehicle and arguing. There's no place for trying to be cute. You just do what you're told, because tensions are very high in those situations. There have been many officers who've lost their lives at traffic stops, at pulling a car over for speeding, broken taillight. It's a dangerous situation in that moment. In this particular situation, you're dealing with these protesters. Emotions are inflamed. The crowd's inflamed. The officers are on edge. And you've got this big car, this big SUV, and they're trying to get her out of the vehicle, and she slams the gas and goes right towards this officer, and he fires his weapon. Had she not done that, she'd be alive today. She would be alive today. I mean, that's the truth. That's the situation. You know, and it's easy to money quarter. Well, he could have ducked. He could have jumped out of the way. Some people have speculated that she was maybe trying to reverse to get away. But even if you're trying to reverse to get away, then you're still not complying with what you're being told to do in that moment. There's a place to argue about whether or not you should have had to comply. And that place is a courtroom. It's not in that moment. It's not in that situation. You just do what you're told in that moment when you've got heavily armed officers around you in a tense moment, in a tense situation. And then if you get arrested and then you fight it out in court. And then if the arrest was unlawful, then you take it up in a civil manner against the government. Although it's, you know, that's a very difficult burden, but people have certainly done it. But either way, that's what you do. You then hire an attorney or get one appointed for you, and you battle it out in court. You argue that the arrest was unlawful. You argue that you didn't do anything wrong. You hope that the case gets dismissed, or that a jury sees it that you were not guilty of a crime, and then you're on your way. But that situation, when you're being told to comply and you're in a motor vehicle, you comply, and then you don't get shot. And then the argument is, well, if they weren't there, she wouldn't be dead. They're there to do a job. I mean, we have immigration law in this country passed by the Congress where Immigration and Customs Enforcement are supposed to go and arrest people who are in this country illegally, who have either deportation orders or detainer orders on them, and they're supposed to go and arrest them. That's their job. That's their job under the law. These guys are not some paramilitary private force that's going out there and decided to just do this on their own. But even American citizens are very often subject to arrest by law enforcement. And then when the officers are out there doing their job and people are protesting but getting in the way of them doing their job, then you've crossed the line. Now you're no longer protesting. Now you're getting in the way. And the right message for a governor or a mayor to send is, let ICE do their job. Let law enforcement do its job. It has a job to do under the law that it has to do. You can like the law, you can hate the law, you can disagree with the law. You can, and there's a method by which you can do that too. You can vote for different people who can change the law. You can run for office yourself and try to change the law. But while that law is on the books, there are people that have to enforce that law, and they don't enforce law with hugs and kisses. They enforce law with enforcement. That's why the word force is in the word enforcement. And this is kind of common sense stuff. And yet here we are again with this terrible situation because we have Democrat politicians, particularly a governor who is completely irresponsible, who is at the rope. You know what I mean? He's at the end of his political life, and he's seeing a lifeline with this. And I'm talking about Tim Walz. He's seeing a lifeline for himself and thinking, oh, maybe I can save my career here if I can turn around and make it out to be Trump bad, these ICE agents are bad, that they're coming in and they're just causing chaos in our communities. No, they're not. They're coming in and they're enforcing the law.
While the national media has been focused on the ICE shooting, government still grinds on, and they're deciding what to do with our hard-earned money. Here's more on the newest spending bill on the Annie Frye Show.
Congressman Darren LaHood, Illinois 16th District Representative, with us right now. Congressman, thanks for fitting us into your busy schedule. I want to talk to you a little bit, first and foremost, about the spending bills. I know January 30th is your deadline. Your majority seems to be shrinking by the day by unfortunate circumstance as well. Tell me what the Republicans are doing to get this spending bill across the finish line so we don't see another government shutdown.
Yeah, well, thanks, Annie. We're actually voting this afternoon on three different appropriations bills. Next week, we'll vote on another three. What Speaker Johnson has said is we ought to get back to the functioning of government. That's passing 12 appropriations bills. The good news is these appropriations bills that we're passing in the House cut spending and help reduce the federal deficit for the first time in a long time. So we're working on that. Now, it's going to get tougher as we get towards the end of the month because these bills get larger and larger, the DOD bill and a number of other bills. But we're doing what we need to do to pass these bills, reduce spending, and get that done. I think shutting down the government as the Democrats did in the fall, we got to make sure that doesn't happen again. And so we're working very, very hard over the next 3 weeks here to make sure that we pass these appropriations bills in a fiscally minded way. Mm.
Congressman LaHood, do you feel as though the Democrats have an appetite for another shutdown?
I don't know. I would hope not. I think they did not come out a winner. The polls showed that and other things showed that. But I wouldn't put anything past Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer. You know, it's amazing, Annie, the far left wing, the Mandami wing of the Democrat Party is what's driving the agenda. And so they continue to double down on these progressive policies. And so that's really what's driving much of the Democrat primary is these a lot of members of Congress are being challenged in primaries by the far left wing of their party. And that's dictating much of the direction they're going.
We're speaking with Congressman Darren LaHood. He represents Illinois' 16th District, a member of the Ways and Means Committee, House Intel Committee, and the Select Committee on the CCP. Congressman, we here, us Illinois residents, are looking at what's going on in Minnesota, observing all of the fraud that is being uncovered. You think we have any fraud that could be uncovered here in the Prairie State that might make a difference in what those Illinois taxpaying residents, federal taxpayers as well, are experiencing?
But I don't necessarily like Cook County, and I don't like the city of Chicago and some of the stuff that they've been engaged in. And so as you may be aware, Annie, the Trump administration has paused the funding that goes to Illinois to these social service agencies, similar to the funding that went to Minnesota. I mean, to put this in perspective, we haven't fully uncovered this in Minnesota, but it could be up to $9 billion that was fraudulently stolen from taxpayers. So with no oversight, no responsibility, no inspector general looking into this. And so I'm glad the Trump administration has paused that money coming to Illinois. There needs to be a full accounting on this. We in Congress have a responsibility and an obligation to make sure that federal taxpayer money is being spent the correct way. And I wish I had more confidence in the bureaucrats in Illinois to do that. I simply don't. And when you look at the shenanigans that went on in Minnesota, at these daycare centers, the lack of oversight, the lack of following up to make sure things were being done the right way. I think in a country where we're $38 trillion in debt, all of this needs to be brought to the attention of the federal government, and people need to be held responsible.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of people right now, at least before this incident with ICE took place yesterday with the loss of life with a protester who decided to run her car into an ICE officer, everybody was talking about Minnesota fraud, and Governor Tim Walz was on the hot seat. You know, I think you look at a governor like Tim Walz and you say, did you know what was going on in your state, the fraud that was taking place, or did you not know? One is just as bad, if not worse, than the other. If that's taking place in the state of Illinois, do you suspect that the likes of Governor J.B. Pritzker are aware of fraud and corruption happening and a party to it?
Well, he can't be. There's no way. And I hope it's not going on in Illinois, and I want to give us the benefit of the doubt. But if it's happening in places like Minnesota, it sure as heck could be happening in Illinois. And you raise a good point, Annie. Remember, Tim Walz was all set to run for a third term. He was enthusiastic about running for a third term and running on his record. That abruptly stopped this week when he decided he's not running. He will be brought before some type of either a deposition on a civil case or potentially criminal deposition and maybe before a grand jury to account for what happened in Minnesota. And so you're seeing the ramifications of that play out. And again, we have a responsibility and obligation on behalf of taxpayers in Illinois to make sure that money's being spent correctly. And if it's not, people need to be held responsible.
Yeah. And we're looking to you and to your fellow congressmen and women to do everything you can, especially with the power of the purse, to provide that oversight and protect the taxpayer. Someone's got to do it. And it doesn't look happening.
And let me just mention today, the Trump administration announced a new position, an assistant attorney general at the Department of Justice that will solely be in charge of looking into fraud. And so this is a step in the right direction. We look forward to working with them particularly in Illinois to make sure that we are uncovering any fraud that exists.
Keying in, spotlighting the fact that the administration is not this fraud thing. There's not going to be a story that scoops their interest in exposing this. You combine this with a lot of the other economic things that this administration has done, and you pretty quickly get an idea of how vast and important to a responsible economic plan fraud has to be a part of it. We have to be looking into where people are taking advantage of our system, abusing our system, and essentially taking advantage of the taxpayer. I think one of the things that ticks me off the most about what's going on in Minnesota is just how brazen it was. Like, they probably tried to be sneaky at first, and they're like, I don't think anyone's paying any attention. And then that just incrementally gets worse and worse, and then now you have a transportation. I guess good on them for buying cars. But they forgot to drive them and move them for an entire year's worth of time while taking millions of dollars from the taxpayer. Meanwhile, in the economy, while we are trying to claw back some of those fraudulent dollars that have been taken away from the taxpayer, listen to this CNBC news report here on the economy.
Up. This is unreal, the movement in this number. Minus $29.4 billion. We cut it basically in half. We cut it in half. Just consider this. In March, it was $136 billion. Right now, it's a whisker under $30 billion. We haven't been that small in a long time. I don't have enough records here to go back that far, but you're going back a ways. And here's the news on why it moved lower.
So you got CNBC reporting on the national deficit that we have. This has been cut in half.
Yeah, the trade deficit.
The trade deficit,
The numbers he was giving were much better than half. I mean, he was like, look, this is half, but it's really like a lot more in the favor of almost not a deficit at all. You know, going from $130 billion down to about 30. That's incredible in 1 year.
The news just keeps getting better and better and better on the economic front. And this is what we were told, of course, by President Trump is, you know, what was going to happen in 2026, that there are going to be things that were going to materialize that have been put into place, but we're going to materialize here in 2026. And in the midst of all of that, we are starting to see some of that. The 2025 GDP growth quarter one, which GDP growth in quarter one would pretty much be a Biden thing for the most part.
Yeah.
Minus 0.5%. Quarter two, GDP growth 3.8%. Quarter three, 4.3%. Quarter four, 5.4%. So growing quarter over quarter.
Wow.
On projected 2025 GDP growth overall, plus 3.25. How I'm really interested in the multi-front war that this president has waged against all the different areas. Mamdani's got this Joker grin on his face because he's so confident that he knows what's good for you. And he doesn't give two shakes of the fist as to whether or not you agree with him because he just knows better. I repeat. Socialists and communists sell you that they're going to help you defeat the man. They're going to take the man down because the little people need someone to help beat, you know, the capital TM, the man. And if they're successful at getting elected to help you take down the man, guess what? They just become the man. The man doesn't go away, and the little people always stay the same. They're just so power hungry that they want to seize upon that opportunity to soak up that power and become the man, and then, boy, aren't you lucky to have him. Service with a smile. It's really awful. It's as un-American as it gets. And New York is gonna see a lot of that. In the meantime, when you look at all of the different fronts that this administration is fighting back for economic prosperity, like beyond your wildest imagination, here in the United States of America, it's not just about the money coming in, it's about the money going out. Where are we spending our money? We shouldn't be spending money in all these NGOs that are ridiculous and don't do anything anymore. We shouldn't be spending the taxpayer dollars on these ludicrous indoctrinating type of programs that are investing in a groupthink. That in the United States of America, under the First Amendment, we don't have to groupthink like that. We're not going to spend our money that way anymore. We are going to spend money on building up a military that says, here is where our border is. This side, ours. This side, yours. There's a line. We're going to enforce it. And we're going to look in places like Minnesota and everywhere those tentacles go out and say, if you're abusing the taxpayer dollar, you're going to go to jail for it. That's what we want to see. We want to see you locked up, not chastised. We want to see you put away so that the next person who has the opportunity to try to pull something like this knows that if you're going to screw around about this, you're going to find out what a jail cell looks like. We're investing. We're investing in our home front. We're investing in building jobs and building infrastructure and building production, onshoring by American, trying to assess, you know, the national debt. It's everywhere. This administration, like, where? I'm not an economist, so I wouldn't even know. We should ask one. What are they not looking at?
I'm always leery when a politician, government official at any level, local, national, whatever, says, oh, we're making major investment. Because typically that means they're taking your money and they're putting it in something else. They don't have any money of their own. But Trump, when he says investment, I mean, basically the whole first quarter of the year, he was bringing massive billion to trillion dollar actual private investment into the company. That's going to play out in 2026.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.